What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in tonight. Sorry a little bit for the delay here. We ran into some technical difficulties, this being the maiden voyage of Shane Warren Live. Whatever you do right now, make sure you share the feed. We see all of you guys jumping in on the chat right now, and I want to thank you for joining us tonight. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Shane Warren, and we're live from where we live. We're here tonight to discuss real issues with real talk with some real truth. Now, I just want to warn you right now, this is a no compromise, no political correct zone. We're about to get rowdy up in here. We're going to talk about some of the main issues that right now we're facing as a nation. And we want all of you guys to jump in on the chat. Already our chat room is filling up, and we want to thank you. I see people joining from Cleveland, Texas, McMinnville, Tennessee. I see you there. Hey, whatever you do, as you're jumping on here right now, tell us where you're from, and we would love to be able to say hey to you. Hey, Robert Charles Brown in Louisiana, so good to see you on here. And Josh, thank you guys so much for connecting again. I want to ask you for your help tonight, if you will. Since this is our maiden voyage with Shane Warren Live, we want to ask you to jump on and share the feed. So help us get as many viewers as we can on. We got quite a lineup tonight. We're going to talk about Roe versus Wade, the current situation and chaos that's going on around that. We're going to talk about this disinformation group that Biden is putting together to, I believe, possibly censor us even more. And then we're going to talk about and weigh in, if we have time tonight, on the war that is going on in Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, and where China falls in on that, as well as Israel and Syria and some of the potential things that are coming down the pipe there. We are, as a nation, we're facing a lot of great things. And one of the reasons we wanted to start doing these Thursday Night Lives programs is because we're going to have guests that are going to come on from all over the nation, even around the world, that'll be joining us. Some of them will be live here in our studio, and then there'll be some that'll be joining us via Zoom and other things as we figure out this technology, because this is our first time. So have a little mercy on us. I appreciate you guys being patient with us. But anyway, our goal here is to create a discussion, facilitate a discussion that hopefully will lead to a discovery of truth. Because right now, there's a whole lot of chaos and confusion in the nation, and there's a whole lot of deception that is going on in the nation around the world. I'm joined tonight by a couple of my friends that are going to help me on this this first program. To my left here is Steve Jones. Steve, tell them a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what God's called you to.
Amen. Well, good to be here on this maiden voyage. We'll get over these bumps here in a minute.
Yeah, it's. I thought the ship was going to flip over when we first started.
We got over that tsunami, so we'll make it now. Steve Jones. I've been in ministry for over 30 years now. Most of that in international ministry. I go to a number of countries around the world. I've dealt in a lot of Islamic nations and in a lot of bad situations with all of that. Also pastoring and helping Pastor Shane here at the Bend locally now as well. But been a student of prophecy and things that are going on in our world now for some time. Yeah. So yeah, good to be here tonight.
Good. I'm glad you're here. And then got my trusty nerd sidekick. This is Noah Erickson over here to my right, and he's handling all of the good stuff. Aren't you having fun already?
Oh yeah, tons of fun. And that means that all the problems are my fault. Don't y'all go blaming my pastor for this. I take full responsibility.
No, it's actually, this is our first time, so we expected a little something, but I sure am glad that you guys are jumping on there. We have a super chat available tonight. Anything that you do financially will go into Shane Warren Ministries and help us do what we're called to do here. I will tell you, from this perspective, on this side, just in this room, to pull off what we're doing right now is probably $15,000-$20,000 worth of equipment. And so we do want to give you an opportunity, if you would pray about supporting us. our partnership. I really have felt like that God has wanted me to not go on the road as much as I have been going, even though I will continue to do that. But feel like he's wanting me to start trying to reach our culture through this medium and bring the issues to this platform. And so if you have some discretionary funds and you can help us, we would sure appreciate that, and helps us pay for this equipment. And if you would like to give, you can do that simply by text to give. Now, what we'll do is you will get every week from me sermon notes or something like that. And then also, if you'll partner with us, we'll be sending out things to you just as a blessing, saying thank you for your partnership. So make sure that you do give us your email so that we can correspond with you and give you some of the things that we'd like to bless you with for being a part of our life. If you would like to partner with us, you can do that by simply texting SWM to 73256. And we would sure appreciate that. Now, inside the chat room, we want you to know we are monitoring all of your statements and comments. We want you, you have a right to let your voice be heard. We don't expect you to agree with us. Don't expect us to necessarily agree with you. But if you have a question, you have a comment, we want to hear what you have to say. So please put it in that. And from time to time, we will be referring to those comments and questions, reading them live on the air here as we discuss the issues of our day. Again, I started us out by saying that we're coming live to you from where we live, and we're here to talk about real issues with real truth. And so, again, thanks for joining us tonight. All right, guys, we got the preliminaries out of the way. I'm ready to cut this steak that we've been working on for a while. We've been doing a lot of study, a lot of research. Let's talk about, first of all, the issue at hand right now. It seems to be on the foremost part of everybody's minds right now is this issue concerning Roe versus Wade. Let me give you a little bit of backdrop in history that a lot of you might not know. But on January the 22nd, 1973, the United States Supreme Court ruled that a woman had a constitutional right to abort her baby. The case was titled Roe versus Wade. It was named after the parties that was involved. Norma McCorvey was a woman who sought an abortion in Dallas County, Texas, but it was denied her by Henry Wade, the district attorney at that time. In the court case, which traveled all the way from Dallas to the Supreme Court of the United States, Norma McCorvey was listed anonymously as Jane Roe, and thus the landmark battle became known as Roe versus Wade. Now, the Supreme Court decision in favor of McCorvey or Roe was lauded as a victory for women's reproductive rights, and that's what's being held right now or heralded right now in the media. And it also eliminated any and all considerations pertaining to stages of pregnancy, fetal development, or emotional trauma to the mother. It did, however, leave room for states to enforce their own laws concerning the second and third trimesters. Now, according to several polls, the number of legal abortions since Roe versus Wade has passed now as high as 60 million abortions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the death of 60 million unborn American babies. And I believe that this should force us to think carefully about this issue. So I want you to know as we weigh in on this issue tonight, this is a serious issue because it's life and death. And while many champion Roe versus Wade as a great victory for women, we need to know what the real Christian viewpoint is here and the conservative viewpoint. What do we really believe about this? Is this the viewpoint that we ought to hold to? Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, well, hold it. You know, I know you're a pastor, but tonight I'm going to kind of take off the pastor hat. And, but let me just do something from the pastoral side, because you can't see it, but I have a graph in front of me that actually list the percentages of it, within each religious group, their views about abortion, and how many of them think it's legal in almost every case. In every case, right now, if you're Buddhist, 82% of Buddhists believe that it should be legal in all cases. Catholics, this is going to shock you, the people who have fought for children historically
pro-life forever.
Forever. Historically, 48% right now Catholics believe that it should be legal in all cases.
Wow.
Evangelical Protestants, now these are hardcore fundamentalists, are 33% say it should be legal. One-third of hardcore evangelical believers. Hindu is 68%. This is one that shocked me. Historically Black Protestant, which is a very strong population of faith. In fact, some believe the historically Black population is the most biblically literate group in America. 52% of them say that it should be legal in all cases. Jehovah's Witness, 18%. Jewish faith, 83% say it should be legal. But here's the one that really kicks me. Mainline Protestant, which is the great bulk of most mainline Christian denominations, organizations, 60% of those believers or those people of faith believe that abortion should be legal in any and all cases. So this is the reason that we're going to weigh in on this, and I've got a lot of stuff here to talk about, not necessarily just from a biblical standpoint or even what we would call a conservative standpoint, but from a moral standpoint. And, you know, really, guys, it wasn't until the late 1950s that pregnancy began to fall out of popularity in the United States. And although abortion has been practiced throughout history, the predominant view was always that children were a blessing, and most families were comprised of two-parent households, and the children were born to or adopted by those individuals. The mothers usually stayed home to raise the kids while the fathers earned a paycheck. Now, that is in the 50s.
Right.
Things changed drastically in the 60s. All of this information I'm sharing with you is extremely important when we're trying to put our mind around the issue at hand. This is the reason I have a problem with a lot of Christians. They want to check their brain out at the door, and they want to get on a stump and just rail about things when in reality they don't have a lot of information behind what they talk about. 1950s was one era. When we get to the 1960s, now this brings in the sexual revolution, and with it, there is this rising fear of unwanted pregnancies. And so as a result, various methods of birth control begin to explode on the market. But when birth control failed, as it often did, abortion became the desired solution. And since abortions were illegal in the United States, then many women sought to obtain unsafe back alley abortions from untrained abortionists, right? And so disease, sterility, even death resulted as some of those choices, and that gruesome history can really shine a light on how tough it was at that time, and therefore that's the reason they felt the need for a changing in these laws to legalize something, and that's the reason even now you're hearing them saying abortion is health care.
Right. Actually, they're sending clothes hangers to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
By the tens of thousands arriving in the mail. And that's their message in that.
Yeah.
That's what they're, you know, trying to show. They say that this ruling will take us back to that.
Right.
And you mentioned too the 60 million. That's only in the U.S.
Right.
Because we then took off and we started pushing it on all the other countries of the world.
Yeah.
Europe and across. So the number's probably 5 times that, you know.
Overall. Just at 60 million, we've already passed or at least tied Stalin.
Yeah.
For the number of people he killed.
Yeah.
Or was responsible for killing. Yeah. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I really think the issue at hand is a lot of people don't see it as murder, even though, you know, it really is. Now, So with the 60s brought this sexual revolution. And so I want to submit a thought, and I want us to banter this around for just a moment, and I'm really interested to see what you guys have to say on the chat. And I'm looking at a big screen in front of me, if you're wondering what I'm looking at, that's got all of these chat comments. But I don't think we have an abortion problem. I think we have a fornication problem.
Amen.
I would agree with that.
That's what the issue is. The issue is abortion is an issue. Don't get me wrong on that. Abortion is an issue. But we have a sexuality, an immorality problem that's leading us down all of these roads, whether it comes into the LGBTQI whatever movement and all of the deviance from every different direction. We're trying to somehow or another license, legalize, moralize immorality. And so that's, for me, that's what I feel like this is.
It is. And, you know, that we've divided this thing in pro-choice, pro-life, right? Mm-hmm. That's the two camps. There is a sense, just to be blunt, in which I'm pro-choice.
Right.
But the choice that I'm pro is the one that happened the night before.
Right.
Before you get that way to start with. You have that choice. Everybody has that choice.
Yeah.
And you make the choice to take that chance.
Yeah.
Then the choice ends.
Yeah.
And so you're exactly right. It's the abortion issue is a symptom of the real problem.
That's right.
And when we have these things going on, we're treating a symptom and not the real issue.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was just sitting here looking at some of the chats, and Laura made a statement. She said, abortion is a symptom. We can't continue to deal with only the symptoms. And that, I think that's really what my heart or my mindset is. So since we have an abortion issue, but the real issue is an immorality issue, a fornication issue, then, of course, we know that God already has a solution for this. But the problem with that is America has ordered him out of everything. And so we've ordered him out of the classrooms, and we've ordered him out of the bedrooms. And we don't like to talk about that. Even in the Christian movement, nobody wants to talk about this. But the truth is, the Bible's true that the wages of sin is death. And in 1973... the ones America chose to pay those wages were unborn children. I want you to think about that. So for me, the death of these 60 million plus unborn children, God knows how many really the number is, it's really just us making them pay for our immoral choices. And that's a problem, guys, because God is very clear that he's the author of life. He tells us that Genesis 1:27, Acts chapter 3, verse 15. He tells us that every human being is a unique creation designed to reflect his presence, his glory. The Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. That's Jeremiah chapter 1. It is God who forms the baby in the womb. So again, I believe that birth starts at conception.
Amen.
I believe it starts at conception. Yep. Now, let's get back to Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade, I know a lot of people say, well, we don't need all that information, but guys, we need this information because a lot of people don't understand the real issue at hand, all right? So let's get back to Roe versus Wade, and y'all weigh in at any moment here. Roe versus Wade was indeed a great victory, but it was a victory for sexual immorality. It was a victory for selfishness. It was a victory for death mongers. It freed women from slavery to their natural motherly instincts. It did free them from that, but it did it at the cost of their own souls.
Yeah.
And see, God created within a woman a desire to protect and to nurture her own babies. This is the natural course of things. And so regardless of how inconvenient or difficult a pregnancy may be, elective abortion is it's an unnatural step.
Yeah. You know, as you know, Pastor, I'm a student of the book of Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And there's a parallel in the book of Jeremiah in all of this. In Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah kept telling the people one of the biggest complaints God had against him was it what they called making their children pass through the fire.
Right.
What it was child sacrifice to the god Moloch. And what they would do, and what his history has shown from studying this, almost all of the children that were sacrificed in that were children that weren't wanted.
Right.
They were either from a lot of them from the prostitutes in the Temple of Baal.
Yeah.
So they would go and have their pleasure, and then they would come back when the child came, and they would sacrifice it. Or maybe the child was not natural, had problems or whatever.
Right.
And so they would do this. And so what I always like to call, I call that the altar of pleasure. They would sacrifice those children on the altar of pleasure.
Right.
And that's exactly where we went in the 60s.
Right.
The pleasure became more important than the circumstances, so we had to have this response for the circumstances.
Right.
And that's what abortion was. Abortion made, at the time of Jeremiah, when they would get ready to sacrifice these children in the fire, they would have someone there on drums. And they would beat these drums as loud as they could so that when they threw these children in the fire, no one would hear the scream.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have a modern-day equivalent of that.
Right.
These women do this now, and so what happens is all the other women are cheering them on, and these women's rights, you're doing your thing. And in doing that, they're silencing the hurt and the pain that went along with this. And so these women, as you know and I know because we've both dealt with them, end up dealing with these things for years.
Right.
These injuries to their very soul and spirit.
I'm just noticing here on the chat here that Kelly is asking, so how do we fix this? I mean, and she has an education. Is education the answer? How
great
do we
question.
Fix this? I think it's a loaded question. What do you think, Noah? What do you think the answer is to that before we get into any more of this?
I don't see how there is a solution without people having an internal moral compass that puts them away from fornication and away from just diving into whatever for their own selves. And so I know of no antidote to that but Jesus.
Yeah.
So the solution to me is for the church to get up and do what we're called to do.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a moment, because the great majority aren't church folks. So what is the voice of their conscience? When they don't have the voice of God in their conscience, it has to be the law. Correct?
Correct.
Correct the law. Even the Bible says the law magnifies sin.
Right.
It draws the line between what's right and wrong. And so therefore, again, I know we're talking about this from a Christian worldview, but even without the Christian worldview, the only way to really to change this is to start with the law. And I notice here Steve is saying we can't expect lost people to make godly choices on morality. We can and should, however, set an example of following Christ as Christians. Our internal compass is the Holy Spirit. Deborah is saying the solution is morality and accountability. All of those things, of course, we agree with. But this is why the law is so important in my mind, and what recently happened with SCOTUS is a really big deal. So
here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
At some point in the 60s, the law, for a lost person, the law is the law of the United States.
Right.
And somewhere along in the 60s, we started this moral relativism stuff. So I can say, well, that's right for me, but it doesn't matter what's right for you if it's right. And that's the way we've gone. And so our law has been shaped into that now, that it's really whatever's right for you is what you do.
Correct.
And if it's okay with you, it's all right. There's no problems with it.
Correct.
So sin is totally taken out of the picture in modern day. And we even see it now in the way a lot of our district attorneys and those kinds of things are reacting to cases. I mean, they're letting people go that have done some horrendous things.
Yeah.
Oh, well, slap you on the hand, let you go. And that's the way our progressive left is really leaning. So there's no penalty even to the non-Christian law.
Yeah.
And there's no morality in it.
Right.
There's no absolute standards any longer.
That's correct.
And that's what we've lost. And that's what you lose when you turn away from the law of God.
Danielle is making a great point here. And again, I just want to remind all of you guys, please share the feed on Facebook and other things so that we can get more people watching. We're just now getting into this. But Danielle is making a great point here. She says the psychological damage. And for those of you who wonder who I'm talking to, I'm talking about the people who are making comments in the chat. We want to hear what you have to say. we want this discussion not to be between us. We want it to be with you. She says the psychological damage from an abortion is horrible. 37% more likely to experience depression, 110% more likely to abuse alcohol, 155% more likely to commit suicide, 220% more likely to abuse marijuana. Danielle, that is incredible information. And it's really eye-opening that it's not just the baby that's dying here. In fact, I wrote something in my notes here. I said Roe versus Wade legalized murder because abortion is murder. The growing baby is not a part of the mother.
No, not that, genetically, not even connected. That's what the placenta is for.
Exactly. So it's very important for us to get this principle. The growing baby is not even a part of its mother. So killing it means killing a separate entity from the mother. It is not a woman's choice.
No
more not. Than it would be my choice right here to take out a gun and decide to kill Noah. It's not my, I mean, I make that choice, but if I make that choice, there's consequences for that choice.
And that is what makes me think about education.
Yeah.
And if that is part of the answer, because what one thing that's endemic in our society is we don't want to deal with consequences. We want the easy way, the quick way. That's why we have so much debt. That's why we do so many of the things that we do. And what does it take to reinstill in people or to instill in people for the first time to take a second and think, what are the consequences or possible consequences of this choice? And do I want those consequences?
Yeah.
Or is there a better choice I can make here?
Now, yeah. That leads me to something here. You're talking about education. All right. So here's the question. Where does that education come from in our country? We know it should come from the church, but it's not. I did a quick search here earlier today, and I just did it again because I wanted to double check myself. If you just type in that SCOTUS reversal of Roe versus Wade, every one of the things that comes up are in the negative and how it's going to hurt us,
right?
How it's going to hurt our rights and how this is going to be next and how this is taken. There's nothing positive comes up at all if you do a Google search. Now, while you and I, if we come to an issue and have a problem, we're going to do a Bible search.
Right.
But the world is doing a Google search.
Right.
So Google is their source, you know, and others, but mainly Google, obviously. And so the problem now becomes the education they're getting is the wrong kind of education.
Right.
So how do we change that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do we step into that problem, and how do we create an atmosphere where they can get this right education? Because unfortunately, because of things that happened way back in the beginning, and for many of the early years, especially in this abortion issue, where people were going and protesting the abortion clinics, and some ugly things took place.
Yeah.
And ugly things always get on the news. They may have been minimal, but they got on the news. So these people have this picture of you and I as being against them, against abortion, against the whole thing.
Right, right.
So somehow or another, we have to step in and find a way to show the love of God to them and to get this education to them.
Yeah. You know, Rich here is making in our chat room, making a good point. Personal responsibility is another issue that has been made absent in recent generations. If you're not made responsible, you can't be held accountable.
That's right.
And that's a great point here. Deborah says, where is the father's choice in that? It may not be his body, but it is his baby. Josh says, with this law, we allow people to call pregnancy a mistake and then follow up with a life-changing mistake. That's pretty powerful. Wow. Right there. That is extremely powerful. So in my notes, when I was thinking about this, one of the things I did, and this goes along with Danielle's comment there, is I said, hey, this baby is a distinct human being, and God abhors murder as seen in many places of the scripture. But the baby is not the only thing that's dying. The mother will lose an integral part of herself, and she will live with that knowledge the rest of her life. And my heart breaks tonight for mothers who have, for whatever reason, felt like that was their only option or choice at the time, and now are having to deal with the aftermath of pain. And I just want to tell you tonight, if you're one of those women that you're watching, we want you to know we're not here condemning. We're here to tell you there's mercy and there's grace that's available for you. Repent of that and find the next thing God has in your life. Redeem the time and take back what the enemy has stolen from your life. But for those that are watching or maybe tuning in or listening to this podcast on our podcast platforms, listen, you know, we have to get this thing where abortion is not an option. There's got to be a better way than taking the life of another human being over convenience and immorality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, what you do with your life is really your, you know, it's at your discretion. You have the right to live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, go wherever you want to go, sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. But at some point, all of us know if we drink and drive, have an accident, there's consequences.
Right.
If I lose my cool in Walmart and hurt somebody, there's consequences. You know, if I go out and get a hold of bad drugs and take them, there's consequences. Why is it that there's no consequences for this level of immorality and what it's doing to people's lives?
Well, what we've just seen from the statistics is that there are consequences.
Yes.
But the consequences are being minimized by people who, for whatever reason, it's in their best interest to push this agenda, whether that's, you know, the fabled Agenda 21 from the United Nations, or that's right. The people who make a living doing this, or the people who are being supported as candidates from the people who make a living doing this.
That reminds me of something that you were telling us right before we came on the air.
Yeah.
Said you'd done a little research on this and what happened an hour or so before this thing was leaked.
Oh, I'm going to get to it. let's hold that truth bomb, because I don't think anybody can really handle what we're about to tell you here.
We'll bump it up a little.
Yeah, right now we're giving you the Christian perspective, but we're about to go off on some other perspectives here in just a moment. True Justice there, 2111 is saying people are literally brainwashed to believe that a child is only a lump of cells and not a living being. I think educating people in the process from the point of conception may be beneficial. Totally agree with that. But the problem is the secular educational system and the left wing agenda, that's not their platform of education.
No, and I do hate to break it to them, but they are also lumps of cells.
Yeah.
Just a lot more cells.
I told you he's a nerd, guys, but he's a good one. All right. All right. So, let's go ahead and jump into this. So where does the Christian fall on this? You know, I just told you 60% of mainline Christians believe it's okay. Mm-hmm. So where should we fall in? Christians, I want you to hear me tonight. We should view Roe versus Wade decision with sadness and absolute total outrage. We need to do everything within our legal power to overturn it. I believe that SCOTUS's decision is on the money this time. Ironically, what is not known broadly is that Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe in the landmark decision, was befriended by a pro-life leader who showed love and patience. And after a little while, it broke through to her and it penetrated her fear and her anger. Now, this is her own story. And eventually she reversed her own opinion on abortion and she joined the movement to overthrow Roe versus Wade. So that should tell you something very, very powerful. Now, let's get into the political side of this. Y'all ready to really mash potato? I'm going to do the mashed potato.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do the twist. Here we go. Hold on to your seatbelt here, because we're going to make some liberals mad, which is what I love to do. I'm 52 years old. And I actually get a kick out of making some people mad. They've been making me mad for years, so I'm trying to get back at them.
I didn't think we had to do anything to make some people mad.
We don't. We just have to be here, yeah.
All right. Vice President Harris, Kamala Harris, she made a statement, and I recorded this statement. She said, some Republican leaders are trying, and I quote, to weaponize the use of law against women. So now we're going to weaponize the use of law against women. How dare they, she says. How dare they tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her own body, no matter what the law says. So how dare anybody tell me that I can't murder somebody with my own body just because, you know, I have a right to do whatever. She said that we're weapon. Now, how dare they try to stop her from determining her own future? How dare they try to deny women their rights and their freedoms? One of the things I'd like to ask Vice President Harris is, where was she when BLM was burning tens of millions of dollars of property down?
I'm pretty sure that's in the billions now. And it's 20 some odd deaths.
Yeah. And I mean,
just in 2020,
where's the prosecutions? Where's the law when it comes to that? Where's the law when it comes to Antifa and their agenda? Where's the law? You know, it seems like the law only applies to the Democrats or to the liberals when they want it to apply to them.
I think it's almost more that it just only applies to the people that are in power when they want it to apply to them. Because, you know, you've got to admit, Republican, Democrat, there's a lot of people who straddle that line. Whatever party they are, that doesn't really indicate, you know, that they believe what we believe or believe the opposite of what we believe.
Yeah. You know, Rich goes on to say, and we're jumping on this. I knew this was going to open up the Pandora's box a little bit. He said, Christians have to get political. We've surrendered our place in the public forum to those who are vocal and oppose everything that we as Christians or morals, our morals beliefs should be, we need to be vocal about. Jamie Greco says, does the law not tell us we have to wear clothes on our own body?
How dare they tell me I have to cover my body?
Oh my goodness. This is so funny. Deborah says, most people ask why a 12-year-old should be forced to give birth to a child that she didn't want. They want to murder an infant so a child doesn't have to give birth, which is worse. All great comments, guys. All right, let me give you
thank you, Jason, for the super chat.
Oh yeah, by the way, yeah, thank you, Jason. Jason is a great YouTuber as well, guys. I would highly encourage you to do two things. Number one, go to Jason Mayfield's channel and subscribe to his channel, and make sure you get alerted. And if you haven't done that on our channel yet, subscribe to our channel and make sure you hit that notification bell. So every time we do these that you'll know about it. But Jason is a great, great, person to follow. He just got through writing a book, Money, the Masters. Jason, put in the text box name of the book. I just went blank on it. Money in the Master's Hand or Money in the Master's Way. What's bad is I just wrote a promotion for this book. It is a great book, guys. I did read the book. It is phenomenal, and you need to go check it out. It's great. So let me get back to this right here. Let me give you one of another quote from the left. Several of these conservative justices who are in no way accountable to the American people have lied to the U.S. Senate, ripped up the Constitution, and defiled both precedent and the Supreme Court's reputation, all at the expense of tens of millions of women who should be stripped of their bodily anatomy and the constitutional rights they have relied on for half of a century.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, that's tough. You can't even make this stuff up, though. I mean, you know, again, it's all about the woman's body and not the child's body. Here's another quote. An extremist Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe versus Wade and impose its far-right, unpopular views on the entire country. It's time for the millions who support the Constitution and abortion rights to stand up and make their voices heard. We are not going back. No, not ever. Now, you can hear the incendiary tone
exactly
in these comments, right? I mean, this has done more than just ruffle the feathers. But however, I think that this is exactly what the liberal agenda is wanting.
That's why it was leaked.
In fact, I think it's not only what they want, it's what they need.
Yep.
Right now.
Yes. Yep.
Because the liberal or the left is in grave trouble.
Yeah.
According to all polls that are coming out, grave trouble.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them.
In the midterms, and could be even in even worse trouble, because there doesn't look to seem to be anybody on the horizon who's going to make a big splash for them. And so they could be in some big trouble. So there's nothing better for that trouble than a little bit of rioting in the streets like we had back in 2020.
Yeah.
Y'all don't even want me to get in that.
Hey, it worked then.
A former president today, I won't call his name, but his initials are B.O., him and his wife have told everyone to take to the streets.
Yeah.
Is that not an insurrectionist comment?
Well, it is, and here's my point. This is what we talked about earlier. A lot of people don't know this. I did a little research. You know, as you know, there's only been a handful of times, when I say a handful, maybe two or three times in history that something has been leaked from SCOTUS. How these leaks happen, it comes through one of the law clerks, right? So every single justice has 3 to 4 law clerks that work with them. Now, obviously, one of the law clerks has leaked this out. Now, they're going to get to the bottom of it. They're going to discover who it is. And I would think it's not going to take long for them to discover this, but they're going to get to the bottom of it. But these leaks, ladies and gentlemen, were on purpose. Let me tell you something that a lot of you don't know. Check this out. Did you know 2 hours before this leak occurred, it just happens that Planned Parenthood gave a $150 million donation to the Democratic Party?
Which was my taxpayer money, probably.
Exactly. So think about that 2 hours before. Not only that, only a couple of hours after the leak, we already have a major demonstration that's taking place. Mm-hmm. People with signs that look pretty good. They've been well crafted and created, right?
I'm sure they're just really fast at making signs.
Oh, it probably, you know, it just happened, right? I mean, they just, you know,
it's like a baseball game, you know, the championship game. They have hats made for both sides in case you.
Maybe that
must be it.
Maybe that's what it is. Well, with all the jesting aside, let me tell you what I believe. The leak was a ploy by someone on the inside to undermine SCOTUS. It was also a ploy to incite rage votes.
Yep.
It was also a ploy. Exactly. Not only that, you've got something from the Federalist. Let's find that real quick. Steve found something from the Federalist that was published where they made a statement. I want you guys to listen to this. So,
It says it's been proven. This is from the Federalist. Left-wing group bribes abortion radicals with stipends, which would be money, for participating in intimidation protest at justices' homes. So these people you're seeing in these, on the evening news, CNN, or whichever you're, hope none of you are watching them, but if you are, that's the one you're watching. If you're seeing these people rioting in front of these homes, they're being paid to do that.
Right.
And you know, you we wonder why we can't get anybody to work at the local restaurant. Well, why should they when they can get paid to go out and tear things up?
Exactly.
That was probably a little sharp remark. But anyway, so all of this has been planned.
Right.
And I think they knew even before this was released what was going to happen, or at least highly suspected it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you said, they need a horse to ride to this midterm election.
Exactly. So now this is a serious issue, leaking this kind of information. I mean, this is a no-no when it's one thing to leak it on the administrative side of things. It's another thing to leak SCOTUS stuff. And here's the reason why for that. I listened to Laura Ingraham, who was actually served as a law clerk. And I'm going to play an audio file, and hopefully this will work. I'm going to play an audio file for you guys. And I want you to listen to Laura Ingraham, what she had to say about this leak. Check this out.
Tonight, Politico is reporting on a leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion in that Mississippi abortion case, and that Justice Samuel Alito has been assigned the majority opinion, which, according to the draft, means Roe versus Wade will be overturned. Now, what does this mean? This returns the abortion issue to the states, which pre-Roe is where it always was. So, in other words, some states will allow abortion liberally, some states might ban it, some will find what they believe is a middle ground.
All right, I'm going to stop her right there because right now I think if my research is correct, we have about 20 states in the union that have said they've outlawed to some degree 26 abortions. So again, Farah, thank you for that. We have had some states that's already doing that. And so this is what she's talking about. So just to be clear, what SCOTUS is doing is not outlawing it.
Right.
They're simply saying we don't have, it's not our jurisdiction. Am I understanding this right, Noah? Is that how they're?
From what I've read and watched, yes, that means they're returning the authority on that back to the states, which is, I think any authority coming from the federal government back to the states is a great thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's continue this. Listen closely to what she has to say about it. This is really scathing.
But I want to say this very clearly tonight. No matter what you think about this outcome, the leak itself represents a shocking and unprecedented breach of the court's confidentiality.
I'm just going to say now, the leak, what she's saying, and you know, everybody focuses on January 6th, the insurrection. This leak is an insurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
This leak is an insurrection. And so you're going to see how big of an insurrection this is. Check this out.
Which is sacrosanct. And it's key to the court's ability on any issue to engage in the give and take and all the decision making that's required to reach these decisions based on legal principles, based on the Constitution, not because of political pressure. That's what the legislature does, not the court. And those who clerk at the court, especially the law clerks, they are afforded a tremendous privilege. Think about it, to work at the court, to learn from the justices. But the inviolable deal that you strike when you accept that clerkship, which is the most coveted thing you can have as a young lawyer, is that you swear confidentiality regarding everything you see and everything you hear, and especially the internal deliberations of the court, especially that. It is not up to a law clerk to decide when the decision of the court will be announced. And it is not up to a law clerk or any employee of the court to leak a decision in what is a naked attempt to try to change the outcome before the final opinion is issued. Now, why am I so passionate about this tonight? I actually know what I'm talking about. A lot of people on television tonight don't know what they're talking about. I was a Supreme Court law clerk, and I know because I saw it. Opinions go back and forth. Drafts of opinions go back and forth. Mm. Language changes. Sometimes even votes might change.
Yep.
Maybe a justice will see an argument he or she didn't think of. It's rare, but it does happen. But this is all done confidentially to encourage this free exchange of ideas that's always deemed by everyone. Doesn't matter what your political background is. Doesn't matter. It's deemed essential to the proper functioning of our nation's highest court. Now, Chief Justice Rehnquist, in our orientation session at the court, said to all of us,
listen to this.
So there are 9 justices, 4 clerks for each chambers, usually about 36. And then a couple of the retired justices still have clerks that, you know, are still at the court. But it's not many young people, right? It's about 36, 40 young lawyers. He looked at us and he said, if you leak anything from this court, you can kiss your legal career. Bye-bye.
Uh-oh.
Done. Yeah, we remember that. And through the entirety of the court's history, no matter how controversial or disruptive the court's decisions have been, and I'm talking decades of decisions on freedom of religion, rights of criminals, same-sex marriage, none of those draft opinions ever leaked. You know why? Because everyone in that building understood that was a line that could never be crossed.
A line that can never be
crossed. You guys hear exactly what they're trying to communicate here. This is actually, it could be as serious or more serious than the issue at hand. I mean, there's two issues going on here, and both of them are very, very serious. And guys, the reason this is so serious, number one, again, this was an intent by somebody on the inside to put pressure on SCOTUS to change votes.
Yep, exactly.
That's what this is about. It's about political pressure to get the vote changed. Number two, to enrage people to take to the streets and go to voting in the midterms that are coming up. So this is a play. If it's not a play by the liberal community, then it's they're using it. They're picking up the ball and they're running with it, right?
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, and we're going to move on to the next thing here, but at the end of the day, we have to fall as believers of where the Word of God says that we need to fall. The Bible says that life is sacred, that God created life. Life begins at conception. And if you really want to argue on the Christian side, life actually begins before that. It actually begins in God. And God creates that life in the womb when a man and a woman comes together and consummates. And so life is sacred, so therefore we need to fight. Now, folks, you know, a lot of you guys didn't grow up like I did, but when I grew up, you know, from time to time, my daddy would work some correction.
Yes, sir. Yes.
On me. Yes. Y'all don't know about this. A lot of you don't know about it, but we knew what paddles were and belts mm-hmm. were and switches were. And I was not an abused child. Everybody knows me knows I was not an abused child. But the worst whooping that I ever got from my dad, the worst discipline I ever received from my dad, is when I was playing football and a young man who had physical disabilities, worked as kind of like our equipment trainer. Some guys, after a ball game, were picking on him. My dad drove up to pick me up from school, and they were picking on this young man. And we got in the car, and my dad began to rail on me why I did not defend this young man who was defenseless. And when we got home, I got the discipline of my life. I got such good discipline that I'm telling you right now, if somebody is innocent and somebody else is attacking them today, I could possibly go to jail. Like, not because I really wanted to take up for anybody, but because I'm scared my daddy will come back from the grave and do something really bad to me. So, you know, these babies don't have a voice.
That's right.
We are their voice. Yeah. We have to make a stand here. Now, we cannot give in to political correctness on this,
no.
And we cannot bow our knee to the immorality and acquiesce to the immorality on this. We have to come down where God's Word tells us to come down when it comes to this this issue. So we need to be praying. We need to be seeking the Lord and asking God to help us. And I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to segue and we're going to go to another issue, and this will be our final issue for tonight because, man, we got into that a little bit.
We're a chatty bunch here.
We're a chatty bunch. You know, we're going to talk about this disinformation board that Biden, the Biden administration, has put together. For those of you who do not know anything about what I'm talking about now, you need to go Google the Biden administration's disinformation board. You need to Google it. You need to check it out. Guys, this is a very, very big deal for all of us. It's very important that we pay attention to what's going on here and we make sure that we call our representatives and let them hear our voice. So basically what it is, the Biden administration announced the establishment of a disinformation governance board, the DGB, and I think that it was last week.
Yeah.
If I read right, announced this to be created within the Department of Homeland Security. Now, according to them, they're aiming to counter misinformation related to Homeland Security specifically. However, guys, this is a very, very slippery slope because basically what they're doing is they're saying they want to counter fake news.
Right. And we totally
trust everybody who consistently doesn't fact check out that they're going to give us the great news. So, all right, guys, jump in on this.
This is straight out of George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah, you need to read 1984 if you have.
This is straight. You know, the next
Ministry of Truth.
That's right, the Ministry of Truth. The problem is who determines the truth. it's nothing more than the Facebook fact checkers. Yeah. You know, they who determines what's right or wrong? They do.
Yeah.
Because they've got the biggest stick at the moment. They're right. in control. And so you've got these guys, and you know, at first they tried to explain it, well, we're mainly going to look at foreign stuff. None of us in this room believe that, I know.
Yeah.
And now here's the question. You called it a slippery slope. Okay, they start out trying to get a little disinformation off of social media, maybe. Next thing you know, they're standing up telling you as a pastor, that stuff's not true, it's disinformation, and you can't say that anymore.
Right, right.
Now, that sounds like a stretch, but it's not.
No.
Canada is already there.
They're already
Canada
there.
Canada arrests pastors for saying things that people who put people in office don't want said.
That's right. There's this thing called the Overton window. You familiar with that? The Overton window. It's a term this psychologist, whoever he was by the name of Overton, came up with this idea that if you have a political idea or whatever, your idea has to fit within a certain window within the culture to be accepted. If it's too far to the right, it won't be accepted. It's too far to the left, it won't be accepted. So this window, so what do you do if you have an idea that's outside the window? You got to move the window. Now, this board is going to get all kind of challenges. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But I don't think they really care about that, because what it will do is it's slowly moving the window.
Mm-hmm.
And so something happens 6 months, a year from now, maybe the board's falling apart, but something happens and they say, if we'd have had our board in place, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And so the window has just moved. Same thing happened after 9/11.
Right.
We allowed a lot of our liberties and rights to go down the tube in the name of security because the window moved on 9/11 to what we would have allowed that we would not have allowed prior. Yeah. So that's what this thing's all about. It's about shifting the window to things that we accept. Abraham Lincoln said it, and I think others too. What one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now we'll fight this, but then our kids, they'll grow up with it.
Right.
And our grandkids will live under it. And so this thing is, this is a dangerous thing. I asked Pastor just before we came on the air with you, I said, did you ever think that you would see this kind of thing in America in our lifetime? And no, neither one of us did, but it's here. And so this to me is scarier, to use that word, than anything else that's going on in our country right now.
Yeah. Steve is saying here, now this is really a constitutional issue. Where does freedom of speech fit with this? That's a constitutional issue, and he's right.
Yep.
You know, this really reminds me of, everybody has heard about CBD. Mm-hmm. CBD is really big right now. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, because they're going after it again.
No, I'm trying to make another point. this is my way of making a joke, but everybody knows what CBD is. But no, a lot of people don't know what CPD is. CPD is actually China's Central Propaganda Department, CPD. It's one of the most powerful Communist Party organs, and it controls all the media outlets in China. The heads of China's media outlets are reportedly, quote, required to attend weekly meetings in order to receive instructions regarding what stories should be reported or what stories need to be ignored. This is what China's propaganda, the Central Propaganda Department. And for me, this sounds really, really, really close to CPD.
Yeah.
And we could get there. And for me, I think this is the reason the forefathers had it in their heart to make sure that the freedom of speech and freedom of the press and, you know, everybody being able to have your opinion. It's not my responsibility to, let me rephrase that. My responsibility is to discern what's true, what's not true, to check stuff, right?
Yes. Right.
It's not our responsibility, and it's and to be frank, it's impossible to police every comment.
Right.
You know, every opinion. It's impossible to police that, especially in this age of social media. There's so many different out. There is no way anybody's going to be able to somebody's going to find a workaround, no matter what you do, to you can't police that. However, I understand what they're doing. The problem for me is who's going to be there deciding what's true, what's not true. And when you've got political influences that are trying to work agendas in the minds of people and on down into the institutions of America, of course, they're going to lean one direction or the other on any certain issue, right? And right. That's a very dangerous thing.
Well, and that ties back into what I said earlier about anything that gives power back to the states and by extension, or further beyond that, back to the people is a good thing. Mm-hmm. If you look at how this country was originally set up, it was set up with the intention of mostly educated people who could handle their own business would be the ones electing the people to make the decisions. And that's because the presumption was that you could take care of yourself.
Right.
At least intellectually take care of yourself. But we're so far from that in this country now, where we have a generation, probably multiple generations of people who don't intellectually take care of themselves.
Right.
They want to be fed. They need to be fed everything. So if you can control who's feeding, you can control all those people. When you have a situation that, I mean, all these things that we're seeing with the Ministry of Truth or whatever, the Disinformation Governance Board or
right.
whatever it is, all these kind of things serve to concentrate power in the hands of the elite and strip it away from the people. And to me, that's the most un-American thing that there can be.
Yeah, it's extremely dangerous for where we are. I challenge people to go check this out. I did a little research on this. And October the 16th, 2019, the New York Times, of all people, wrote an article that's very interesting that you need to go read. The title of the article is How Hitler Pioneered Fake News. How Hitler Pioneered Fake News. And what's interesting is that without propaganda, Hitler could have never become a public figure. And let alone he would have never risen to any form of power. It was as a propagandist that he made a second world war possible, that he defined Jews as Germany's foe. He pushed the Holocaust and all the things that came along with it. This form of his propaganda was inextricable from its content. And what I mean by that is the fictionalization of a globalized world into simple slogans were things that he was really good at doing, to be repeated until an enemy was defined as being an extremist against the German movement, right? And so mm-hmm. How he did this was with fake news. Guys, I'm just telling you, you need to go Google How Hitler Pioneered Fake News with the New York Times, October the 16th, 2019, and check it out. It'll blow your mind. This is a very dangerous issue that we have to be watching closely.
And, you know, if they've already chosen a leader for this Jankowicz or whatever her name is, and when she was picked, Mayorkas, who was over the DHS, you know, he said, and I quote, "She is eminently qualified, a renowned expert, and absolutely neutral." Mm. And yet, when you research her a little, you will find she was one of the greatest pushers of the Russia collusion deal against Trump and the whole deal. She pushed it, and she also pushed the fact that excuse me, Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real; it was Russian disinformation. Mm. But she is absolutely neutral and eminently qualified.
And everything you just listed there has been proven as fake
news.
That's
right. It's been proven as fake news.
Everything that you listed there. So. Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, if they have their way, if that agenda has their way, they'll cancel everybody within the culture that is opposed to what they believe. The problem with that is that what they believe changes with the wind. So eventually, I think, I just see the Democratic Party and the liberals cannibalizing themselves. And that's the reason in the midterms they're in trouble.
Yep.
And hopefully they'll be in trouble in the next election.
That goes back to what we were talking about earlier, though, about the Roe v. Wade thing. When you have no moral absolutes.
Right.
And everything is just this moral relativism and so forth, then you do change with the wind.
Yeah.
Because it's whatever makes me happy today.
That's right.
And that's why we're all over the map from day to day with these issues and back and forth, and they change with the wind. You know, if it gets them a power or gets them a few tweets or whatever it is today, you know. And so it all goes back to the fact that our government has no moral basis on which they stand.
Right.
The Constitution is not a religious document, and yet it does have some moral stand. And that's the only thing that's kept us going so far,
I think, right,
is that we have been able to somewhat, not in all cases, but in somewhat hold to it. So there we go back to that same problem,
right?
And that we've lost that compass as a nation.
I think it's really important for me to just to sum this up. There's a reason that every time the Bible specifically speaks about the days in which we live, the last days, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived." Yeah. I think weren't you telling me, Noah, about how you don't even know if the information that you're receiving from people on social media is actually that person or not? Can you weigh in on some of that? You was talking about how there's these bots that pretend to be you and give information.
There's a lot of that. There's actually a theory that a large percentage of active users on Twitter, because remember, you know, Elon hadn't fully taken over yet, are actually bots.
Come on, Elon, buy Twitter, buddy, buy Twitter.
Yeah, I don't like you morally, but I like some of the things you do. Oh, anyway, yeah. That's a real thing. But the concern for me is the extension of that. Go Google star or solo deepfake Harrison Ford. So I don't know if you've seen the Star Wars movie Solo, and it's about a young Han Solo, so they have a younger actor playing him. Well, with basically off-the-shelf technology, a group of people just on their own just got a bunch of pictures of a young Harrison Ford and 3D modeled it and replaced face and voice that actor in several scenes of that movie with a young Harrison Ford. So this is a movie from, what, 2017, 2018?
Right.
And Harrison Ford, I'm talking younger than he was in 1979. So the technology is there. The technology, if it's not already there, we're on the precipice of you being able to get a video call from a family member, and it is not your family member.
Yeah.
That can say whatever it's been programmed to say.
Yeah. So now again, we were talking about this before the show. I understand completely. Maybe the intention here is good. Maybe, I'm going to give them a pass. I'm going to say the intention is good. I could see why we're trying to do this, because there is a lot of disinformation out there that's harmful to everybody. The problem is who determines what the disinformation is. And I think it's incumbent upon us to do our research, to make sure that we fact check and we look at things to know who and what we're receiving is actually the truth or not, right? Yep. Tarot Destroyer saying, that's a crazy name, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Brock Adams, the UN, that's so true. Well, all right, we got one more thing we want to talk about tonight, and we're getting ready to jump into the war, Ukraine and Russia, and we're going to actually bring in Israel and Syria because things are looking strained there, and then China's got a lot of movement and things going on that side as well. A lot of war drums beating in a lot of directions. And guys, I think a lot of people don't understand just how close we are to something very significant breaking loose, and that would be bad for all of us. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, before we go into that, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, we need you to subscribe to our channel. We're going to be doing this every Thursday night. We'll be going live at 7 p.m., and we need you to tell your friends and family members about it. Ask them to join on with us and weigh in. We want to hear what you have to say. And so you always have a right to weigh in here. I tell people all the time, your voice does matter. At least it does to us. And so we're looking forward to building this community, to a very large community, to where we have thousands of people on here at one time and really weighing in with each other. The second thing that I want to tell you is to let you know that on our YouTube channel, the Shane Warne Ministries channel, you can go back and watch all of our messages that I preach at the Bend. If you live anywhere in the Cookeville, Middle Tennessee area, we want to invite you to come out and be a part of that. You can check us out by just looking at thebend.church. And you can learn all about us there. But on this channel are all of the messages that I share, and even some of the sermon notes that I have. You can get those as well by looking at thebend.church/notes. You can find my sermon notes. There's just all kinds of resources that are there to help you in your personal walk with God. The last thing I want to ask you to do is to consider partnering with us. We do need your help. This equipment, we have some more stuff we want to build out in here. Actually, we're using the cameras that we use at our church. We're going to eventually need to purchase 3 cameras that fit just in here, that work just in here, so we can quit pulling equipment back and forth. But if you would like to partner with us, you can do that by texting SWM. And I think is that on the screen, SWM to what's the number?
Yeah, text SWM to 73256.
Yeah, 73256. So anyway, if you could partner with us, that would help me tremendously. Make sure you give us your emails. I'll be communicating with you every month with something special that's written for me, just from me to my partners. That help us. We do that, and you not only help us here, but you help us take the Word of God around the world. Pola, I hope I'm saying your name right there. The parents have a right to say that no teacher shall rob their children of faith in God and send them back to their homes, skeptical or infidels, agnostics or atheists. Alan is saying the AP comes out every week and tries to demyth the true facts in newspapers all over the country. They're depraved. Those were great messages. Pastor Shane, thank you so much for that. And again, thank you guys for joining us tonight. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take about 10 minutes now, and we're getting ready to discuss the war and the things that are going on. And we're going to really look at this very tight, skinny rope the nations of the earth are walking right now on the verge. One little thing.
We're walking on the edge of a razor blade.
Yeah.
It's skinnier than a rope.
Yeah.
We are walking literally on an edge that one little mistake, one little false flag type thing, we could be in World War III when we wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And it's all in place. It's all lined up. Mm-hmm. The talk is already there, getting people ready. One of the things that, and I'm sure you've been asked this a lot too, when this whole thing with Russia and Ukraine started, I got the question 1,000 times, is this Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Right.
It could be.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We just got to see how it develops. But more important than that, there's a tie in all of this with Israel that most people are not seeing. And it's this. You've got Russia up here, you know, they are currently calling this a military operation in Ukraine, although they're expected on Monday to declare war. The 9th.
Right.
That's May Day. That's their celebration of victory over the Nazis. And so they're expecting Putin to do something then, and then he can bring more troops in accordingly. Right. Anyway, so you've got them up there attacking Ukraine. You've got Israel down here sending help to Ukraine. So that's a precarious situation, just like a lot of us are. But then you've got another problem with them. You've got Russians in Syria, which is on Israel's back door, and you've got Israel bombing areas in Syria. Up to this point, since 2015, the Russians have just kind of let Israel do their thing there, because supposedly Israel is hitting mainly Iranian troops and fuel depots, yeah, and ammunition.
Extremist groups.
So Russia's kind of, they'll say something occasionally, whatever. In the last 2 weeks, there's this row, this verbal thing that's taken place between Russia and Israel. It started when one of the ambassadors from Russia made the statement that Hitler had Jewish blood in him. Well, Israel didn't take that too well, and it went back and forth, and this thing started to escalate. What he said just a couple of days ago was that Israel is provoking Russia to react in Syria, because they don't want Israel helping Ukraine. So now Russia's trying to put pressure on Israel to stop. So you've got this whole thing that's building there between now Russia and Israel. And Syria will be the kickoff point for that if it happens, not Ukraine.
Right.
Because we've already got Russian troops right on their back door. So that's going on, and we don't have time to get into it tonight. You know about more about it than I do anyway. The whole issue with the natural gas and Russia being cut off, and Israel's got it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be pumping it to Europe, so that's going to be taking Russia's business. This whole thing is just escalating to a very serious point.
For those that don't know what we're talking about on the natural gas, the Haaretz, which is the news in Israel, in 2010 reported the largest natural gas reserve discovered in Israel, worth approximately $95 billion, and it was more than 16 trillion cubic feet of natural gas discovered right off of Haifa shore in a joint U.S. and Israeli drilling operation. Fast forward up to July 19, 2020, Reuters reports Israel approves a pipeline deal to sell gas to Europe. And basically, this is a very ambitious proposal to build what would be the world's deepest and longest pipeline across the eastern Mediterranean, allowing Israel to export its gas to Europe via Cyprus, Greece, and Italy. Folks, this could be the one thing that the Bible talks about, putting a hook in the jaw of Gog and Magog to come down on Israel. 32,000 cubic feet of natural gas is nothing to...
That's booty. Isn't that what he was asked?
Exactly. Yeah, have you come to take a spoil?
Yeah, take a spoil, take booty.
Yeah.
And that's a serious thing. And if all of that were not bad enough,
right?
Let me throw this on the table. We have been hitting, the world has been hitting Russia with all these sanctions. We've sanctioned their oligarchs. We've sanctioned their money, their banks, all these different things. China has been sitting back watching what we've been doing to Russia.
Yes, they have.
Now, we know that there's been this row of China over Taiwan.
Right.
And the difference in Taiwan and Ukraine, even though it's not really there, we have an agreement with Taiwan, and most people believe the agreement says if they're attacked, we have to go help. The agreement doesn't actually say that, but most people believe it, and so therefore it is.
Right.
So we've been thinking this may be coming. Just last week, April the 30th, this is out of Reuters. China discusses protecting assets from U.S. sanctions with banks.
Right.
They had a secret emergency meeting with their banks and with foreign banks to discuss how they could set themselves up, move their money around so that U.S. sanctions would not affect their money. Now, why would they do that? Mm. And why would they do it on an emergency basis?
Yeah.
Unless they are planning to do something, believing that the U.S. and the world is getting ready to treat them the same way that we've treated Russia.
All right, March 16th, 2022, this year. The headlines, Newsweek magazine, China has planned Taiwan invasion in the fall, right? Mm-hmm. This could potentially trigger war with the U.S. and Australia. China's been saber-rattling against Australia as of recent. In fact, the Daily Mail in November 2021, China threatens Australia with a heavy attack and warns that Allied forces better be prepared to sacrifice greatly, and I'm quoting here, in defense of Taiwan, after Peter Dutton confirmed that they would join in the U.S. protecting the island of Taiwan. New York Times, January 26, 2022, 90% of most advanced chips in the world are made in Taiwan. China is doing everything it can to take over global markets so they can try to outcompete the rest of the U.S. and have a lot of applications for that, including military applications. So, Steve, I mean, what we're looking at here is not only potential of war, this has heavy financial consequences.
Yeah, it already does. You're seeing ride down what we call Motor Mile here in Cookeville, all the car lots.
Right.
And you'll see that half of them, you know, Toyota has no cars.
No new Toyotas
at
all.
No new Toyotas.
Yeah.
And several of them along there are basically empty. About all you see is a few used cars.
Yeah, I think Kia has four.
Kia has. And they're trying to sell the car, new ones, like new ones now, obviously. Yeah. But you'll see that, and that's just one area. I've got a son-in-law that works for Nissan. And he's now telling me that they're getting chips, but they can't get other parts. But they all come from China.
Right.
And so we have, for so long, we gave up so much of our manufacturing because we were so greedy here in the U.S. and wanted the big wages.
Right.
And we gave up all of this. And so now we're stuck. But, you know, it's kind of like the we're slaves to them in a lot of ways with this stuff, because all they have to do is shut the door, and we're in big trouble with a lot of things. And like you said, it even affects our military. A lot of our military stuff's electronic nowadays. I guess all of it probably is to some degree.
Pretty much all of it.
Pretty much all of it, yeah. And so, and we're using Chinese or Taiwanese chips in a lot of this stuff. And so this whole war situation right now, I'll just tell all of you guys, Pastor will tell you real quick, I'm the doom and gloom guy on this bunch. you know, he gets on me about it sometime. We have a lot of fun with it. Yeah.
We have to balance each other out.
We balance each other out, yeah. But, you know, the bottom line is we live in a very serious time. And so the question is, okay, if it's this serious, what do you and I do? Well, first thing, you don't stop living.
Right.
We keep living day in and day out. But we do need to be aware of what's going on around us and not just listening to CNN or these other people again, but really be aware of what's going on around us. I'm not a prepper.
Yeah,
but I do have a few preparations. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Wrong with being prepared for an emergency.
Yeah, for an emergency, exactly. So, but we need to be, and I'll say this for everything we've talked about tonight, every one of us needs to be spending more time in our prayer closet.
Yeah.
Because it's in that closet, you know, the Bible tells us God doesn't do anything unless he tells his prophets first.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not claiming any of us are that, but I believe he tells his people.
Right.
And so if we're spending time in our prayer closet, he's going to speak to us of what we need to do.
Yeah, we'll have a sense.
Yeah, what we need, what's coming and what we need to be prepared for and how, and all of this. Listen, we need to be reaching people for Jesus. We need to get rid of some of our pettiness and start focusing on the main thing again.
Yeah.
And that's reaching people for Jesus.
Well, we're getting ready to close this out, but for those of you who are watching us tonight, I want to leave you with just a few thoughts. Number one, I know we've talked about a lot, Roe versus Wade. We've talked about it from Christian perspective, from the secular perspective, from the Democratic perspective. We've talked about all of that. We've talked about this Biden's disinformation group that he's putting together and how dangerous that could be. We've now talked about how shaky things are in the world. And basically, what I want to tell you tonight is three things. And I want you to take this to bed with you tonight. I want you to think about this. I want you to ponder this. Number one, you and I need to realize that Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And we need to be ready to meet him. Now, I don't know when he's coming. And I have my own view concerning rapture and, you know, when that happens and all this kind of stuff, but that's neither here nor there. What we all can agree on, no matter what our eschatological view is that he is coming, which means we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. Knowing that Jesus is coming means we need to live our life for Jesus right now. Now, just because Jesus is coming doesn't mean that we need to vacate our responsibility and our rights within our nation, no matter where you're watching from in the world tonight. That's right. We have responsibilities and rights where we need to make stands on issues. We can't afford to allow that just to, you know, fall by the wayside. Because the truth is, you and I have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and they've got to grow up in this world if the Lord decides he's not coming back for another 1,000 years. Now, I believe he's coming soon. I believe I've got scripture for that, but so did the early apostles and much of the early church. For hundreds of years, they thought he was coming and lived with an expectancy every day. So I don't know when Jesus is coming. I just know he is. But until he comes, I've been given a command to occupy till he comes. And that means I've got a responsibility. And I have a right to do what's right by me and my family, my nation, the land that God has given me. So don't vacate your responsibility and your right. Make a stand. Today I went out to the National Day of Prayer out on the courthouse square. Thank God we live in a county that will allow us to gather on the courthouse square and pray. And I was shocked. Only 118 people showed up in this town to pray on a courthouse square. Only a handful of pastors even showed up at all. And I'm thinking to myself, where's everybody at? And then I looked out across the crowd, and about 50, I'm sorry, most of the people there were over 50, 60 years old. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm over 50 now. I thought, where is the next generation who's going to make the stand? Where's the next generation that understands they have a responsibility and a right to stand for their nation as well? So you've got to live your life. You've got to plan like Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and live like he might not come back for another 100 years, right? Amen. So the third thing I want to tell you is don't allow fear to rule your heart and mind in this time. The Bible talks about in Luke 21 that in the last days, men's heart will fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the planet. We cannot afford to be those people that are operating in fear. That's not who we are. That's not what we're called to be. This is our finest hour as the church. When the world's at its worst, it's time for the church to be at her best. And so this is our finest hour to stand up and to let our voices be heard. Let's take our responsibility and our rights very, very seriously. Let's not be afraid. Let us not be moved. Let us not cower to the societal pressure that's out there that's wanting to push us in a corner and tell us to shut our mouth. We are not those kinds of people. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. This is your opportunity to be bold. Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed our discussion tonight, and I really appreciate those of you who gave and those of you who are supporting us, and for those that jumped on and gave in the super chat, that's awesome. Thank you. I honestly didn't think we'd have any of that. So honored that for all of you who got involved in the chat area, it was good to see you there, and thank you for joining us. Do me a favor. Make sure you share this feed. Invite people to join us next Thursday night. We are so glad that you have decided to join us here at Shane Warne Live. We will see you next Thursday night.